Hello? For Health Frontiers, for BBS Radio, this is Health Frontiers with Lexi Ross. Tonight we are interviewing, again, Cissy Harrington-McGill, who had the most astounding story about trying to start up her dog food company and how she wound up shackled in prison because she was administering vitamins to dogs. Then she was scheduled for a lobotomy, and a guardian angel came through and saved her life. And I was really surprised to hear this part of her story because I wasn't aware that was what we were going to talk about last week. So this week, we are actually going to talk about the marvelous products that she is producing that, you know, expends the lives of dogs. And good evening, Cissy.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, that was quite a story last week. I was shocked. That was not what I was expecting. And I guess what I would like to know is how you got, I mean, was it the interference and the support of the senators that finally allowed you to develop your dog food company?
Well, I'd give most of the credit to Senator Orrin Hatch's office, because after I got out of prison and his three attorneys investigated my case with the IRS and the FDA and was told I didn't exist, I think that put them on notice. You have to realize that the FDA is right next door to the IRS. I have been audited 19 times in 20 years. One year I was audited for having a gross income of $16,000, net income of $5,000, and yet I was audited by the IRS. And to this day, I'm on and off still audited by the IRS.
Well, but they can't take your business away from you, right?
No, but they drain the business of money because you have to supply them with all this paperwork that you have to hire somebody to do to give them this information.
Right. It's unbelievable. I mean, they've done that to so many doctors across the country, holistic doctors. Well, now I really want to have you talk about the food and the kind of supplements that go in your food and why you put together the formulas that you do that are so health-producing and that extend the life of dogs.
Okay.
And I might add quickly that you have different formulas for different sized dogs and different breeds, do you not?
Yes. But generally speaking, all the Oriental dogs, the
which
Arctic
are,
dogs...
Which ones are the Oriental dogs?
Chow Chows, Shiba Inus, Pekingese, any of your...
But does Shih Tzu fall into that category?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shih Tzus used to be Lhasa Apsas. Lhasa was given as a gift by the lamas as to people, to emperors. They were never sold. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about Pekingese. We have a product called Dragon's Teeth and Dragonette. Well, when I was trying to find out a name for this product, couldn't think of it. And I remember I was a teacher of gifted children for 24 years. Now, once upon a time, there were dragons all over the world. And they kept breathing fire, and people kept killing them. So there was a mama dragon and three baby dragonettes in China, and she didn't want them to die. So she went to a wise man. She said, "Oh, Mr. Wise Man, can't you please save my little dragonettes?" And he said, "I'll tell you what. I will touch them with a magic wand. And in 48 hours from now, they will no longer be able to breathe fire. And instead of having scales, they will have beautiful golden coats." Okay? Well, you know how kids are. They got to do it one more time. Well, that night, they breathed fire. The only trouble was they didn't have scales anymore. They had golden fur, and the fur caught on fire. And it burnt their nose. Well, in between time, the mama dragon gets the wise man over. He touches them, and then the fire goes out. And they said, "We want our nose back." And he said, "No." He said, "From now on, you will not be able to have a nose, and all that black soot that's around your face, that will stay there forever. And we will call you Pekingese." That's how the Pekingese supposedly got his name. So this, when I had this functional food biscuits, one of them is called Dragon's Teeth, and one is called Dragonette.
That's very interesting.
And functional foods means that in addition to these five biscuits being good for all animals, it has a particular use. For example, the Dragon's Teeth and Dragonette has something called xylitol and some other things that helps to keep plaque from forming on the teeth.
Really?
The Dynabone biscuits, that's for cataracts and macular degeneration. Now, cataracts are a major problem with older dogs, but the research finds if you give the animal or people lutein and astaxanthin, 25% of your cataracts will not get worse. The Nature Bone biscuits is for animals with diabetes. It contains chromium picolinate. I pronounced it picolinate, but somebody corrected me that said it's picolinate. Anyway, it opens up the insulin receptors so you get more efficient use of the insulin for your diabetes.
And that's the same thing they give to people.
Absolutely. And then our big star is our Cinnabone biscuits. Well, everybody knows what cinnamon is. Now, for 500 years, cinnamon has been anti-cancer use in Egypt, in China, and India. Now, Taiwan, off the coast of China, had a big problem with mosquitoes and other insects. What happened? They tried everything under the sun, including DEET, D-E-E-T, which is a very potent pesticide.
Yeah.
Did work. So what they did, they got cinnamon, and they sprinkled it around the island. Now, sulfur is the third most prevalent ingredient in a mammal's body, dogs, people. But insects hate cinnamon. So by sprinkling cinnamon around the island, they got rid of the insects. Now, what happens if a dog comes up and eats the cinnamon? Nothing. They love it. It settles their stomach. So that's why our Cinnabone biscuits are so popular. Now, you should give the dog something in the middle of the day and always before he goes to bed at night so he has food in the stomach all night long. Now, that's just our functional foods. As I said, functional foods means in addition to the ingredients being good for the person or the animal, it has some special use. And that's our line of Cinnabone biscuits.
Now, why are you saying that it's good for the animal to have food at night?
They should have something in their tummy when they go to bed at night. It helps to settle their stomach. Because if you go to bed at night and you get your stomach growling and you're hungry, you don't sleep well.
I see. Is that's true for people, too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Just a little something. That's why a lot of people take milk when they go to bed at night. Milk is very soothing to the body.
I see. Now, so a lot of your formulas seem to be almost identical to the kinds of things that relate to the human body.
Well, many of them are. You have to realize when the FDA comes out, they said, of course, the product has to be proven to be safe and has to be proven to work. And they test it on mice, or they might test it on dogs or cats or whatever. But they have to find out it's safe and efficacy, that means it really does what it says it does, before you can put it on the market.
So how did you come about, I mean, in your conversation last week, we talked about the fact that you brought the formula from Germany for the dog food.
Yeah, that was the Hundenflocken dog food.
Yeah, but you've expanded your line dramatically since that time.
Now, let's go back a little step further. As I said, the Oriental dogs, the Arctic dogs, there's your Malamutes, the Siberian Huskies, and so forth, American Eskimo dogs, which look like a miniature Siberian Husky. All these dogs, and the dogs from England, Scotland, Ireland, all your water dogs, poodles, labs, Portuguese water dogs, all these dogs for hundreds of years were fed fish in their diet, and sea vegetation. If you don't give these dogs a fish-based dog food and sea vegetation like our solid gold sea meal, you're not supporting the genome. Think DNA of the body. It's not quite accurate, but you get the point. So all of our food is fish-based. For example, the Hundenflocken, Hund means dog, flocken means flake. We call it kibble. They call it a flock and a flake, although it isn't a flake. That is lamb and fish. Now, that's the adult food. The Hundchenflocken, C-H-E-N, on the end of Hund, means little dog. We call it a puppy. So the Hundchenflocken has the lamb and fish. Next we have the holistic blend, and that's our senior diet. It's only 18% protein, and it's got sesame oil in it, olive oil, almond oil, quinoa. Do you know what quinoa is?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's an alternative grain.
We get it from Peru.
It's not high in gluten at all.
That's right, but I'll tell you about quinoa in a minute. Anyway, we get that. All of that is in the holistic blend. The other food we have in the blue bag with the silver star, and that is our millennia, and that's beef and fish. And this is a bulk-up diet. The next line we have is our bison and salmon. And that's the wolf king for the adult. The wolf cub, although a baby wolf is called a puppy, not a cub, but your alliteration of king and cub. But that's for the young dog. And then we have just a wee bit. And that's for the little dogs. All the same formula. Just a wee bit is for the little tiny mouth. It's only a quarter of an inch.
That's the one that my dog eats, and she absolutely loves it.
My grandmother was from Scotland. She's only 5 feet tall. And every little child was a tiny tot. So our number one treat is a soft treat. It's only an inch long, a quarter of an inch thick. My Great Danes love it. But it was meant for the small mouth. And no matter how much she ate, it was just a wee bit. It might be six times, but it was just a wee bit.
So this my mother was from Scotland, too.
So this was named after just a wee bit. I want to tell you about quinoa. Q-U-I-N-O-A. Not quinoa, but quinoa. That's
right.
What it's pronounced. We got it from Peru. Now it's grown in the United States. So we took us 3 years to find a grain that the dogs had not been exposed to that would not cause an allergy. And we had a researcher, a food forwarder called. He found out with quinoa, and he said, the only place I can get it is in Peru. I said, okay. So we finally got the freight forwarder to get it in, and I talked to his broker. And I said, where did you get such an unusual grain? He said, from the sky gods. I said, what?
From the sky gods?
The sky gods. Yeah, you heard it, the sky gods. I said, oh, now I don't know if this guy's pulling my leg or not, or if he's real. He said, if you look at the mountains in Peru, he said, they're very pointy, except for one section. It's as though somebody cut the whole top of the mountaintop off. It's very flat. And that's where the sky gods came from. I said to him, would you like to elucidate on that for me a little bit? He said, have you ever watched the Discovery Channel? And I said, yes. He said, the Discovery Channel shows a picture of a spider that's a mile long, a man that's a mile long, and a bird that's a mile long, and they're over 1,000 years old, but they weren't discovered until we put the satellites up. And he said, that's where the sky gods used to land. Now, this is where they harvest the quinoa. And I'm drawing a blank. I'm still not sure what this guy is saying to me.
Well, he's obviously talking about extraterrestrials.
Yep, he was. So I said, well, okay. And he said, we're trying to get it in other parts of the world because we're afraid the sky gods are going to come back. So I am scared to death the sky gods are going to come back and take my quinoa so I can't put it into my holistic blend. I called the Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. I talked to a young man. I said, can you give me some background on quinoa? Because I wanted it planted in the United States. So he said, what is it? Now I'm dancing around the story of the sky gods because I don't want him to think I'm crazy. And I couldn't get through to him. So I said, is there someone there can tell me about extraterrestrials and quinoa? Dead silence. He said, I think you better talk to my boss. I said, okay. So his boss comes on the phone, and I told him the story. And he said, oh, you mean the gods from the clouds? I thought to myself, this guy's as crazy as I am. I said, would you like to tell me more about this? So he said, you know, he said, it's amazing. At the headquarters in Belgium, what's that headquarters in Belgium for NASA? Not NASA. Oh, you know, the big flyboys in Belgium. Anyway. He said, the first time we saw anything to do with this was a cloud was over these headquarters in Belgium for 7 days. And lightning was shooting out from the cloud. But it wasn't a regular cloud because it never moved. It never rained. And every time we sent planes up to go around it, the engines will go dead. So after about a week or so, they disappeared. And he said, we saw some quinoa and some crop circles underneath it. So I said, well, sir, I said, the really purpose of this call is to get quinoa planted in the United States because I don't want the sky gods coming taking my quinoa. He said, yes, we're going to plant it in the United States. He said, we're also going to plant it in Canada. So, okay, I said, okay.
You mean that it had, wait a minute, let me interrupt. You mean that quinoa had never grown in the area where the astronauts had had their laboratory or whatever it was
That's
before?
What he's telling me. I can't remember the headquarters in NATO.
Oh,
NATO headquarters.
Okay.
In, I guess,
well, it had to. I mean, it didn't appear suddenly overnight, did it?
You
or was it?
No, it took 7 days.
That's all?
I don't know whether to believe this guy or not. He's telling me stories. He told me a lot of other things that I thought the man with the white coat's going to jump on him or jump on me. So I just took what he said at face value.
That's very interesting.
Anyway, since then, quinoa has been grown in the United States. It's grown in Canada. You can see it in many health food stores. Now, remember I told you that we don't use any soybean, wheat, or corn. We use amaranth, millet, and barley?
Right.
Okay. Let me talk about corn.
Okay.
Corn is used in a lot of dog foods, and I'm going to follow up with this, sending you an article from USA Today in October 2000. Monsanto put a chemical, I believe it was called Starling, but I'm not sure, into corn. So when the bugs ate the corn, they fell off dead.
Right.
When the birds ate the bugs, they fell dead. When it got into Taco Bell corn tortillas, people got sick, and this is all in this article. When it got into Kellogg's corn flakes, they pulled it off the market. When it got into chicken feed, the chickens died. Now the FDA...
How long ago was that?
Just a second.
Sarah, get me that Starling corn article, USA Today. I want a date on it.
I'm going to say 2000. I'm going to get the exact date for you. Anyway, it was called GMO corn, genetically modified organism. So the FDA now says this GMO corn can only be put into pet food and to animal supply food. Okay, USA Today, October 27th, 2000. I'm going to send you a copy of this.
Yeah, I'd love to have a copy.
Now, in our bison and salmon dog food, we don't use farmed salmon. Why? Because farmed salmon is considered livestock, and that's what they feed the GMO corn to these farmed salmon. I don't want my dogs eating GMO corn or anything else like that. So we get our hook-and-line wild-caught salmon from Alaska to go into our bison and salmon food. Now, the bison are free-range. They're not dehorned. They're not castrated. They're not shot up with hormones. It's just free-range bison. That's how careful we are with our products.
Well, you treat your dogs like they're humans.
Well, they're my fur kids.
Yeah.
They're little babies. So anyway, that's just some of the background of some of our products.
Well, let me ask you this. I noticed, I mean, over the years I've been told that it's not a good idea to give dogs soft, you know, canned meat. And I noticed that you do have some canned meat
Yes.
in your line. And I was wondering what your research suggests.
We have turkey and salmon. We have fish and lamb, and we have a little bit of chicken in one of them. I'll tell you about chicken later, but right now I'm going to tell you about the green cow.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Okay, you heard of menudo?
No, I don't know what menudo is.
Menudo, we have a lot of Mexicans out here and Italians. That's a dish that they use on the weekends. It stinks. The dogs and cats love stinky things. But they put other things in it to take the smell off. I think it's in haggis in Scotland, but I'm really not sure. Anyway, it's the fourth stomach of the cow where all your digestive enzymes are.
It's and the what part of the cow?
The fourth stomach of the cow.
The fourth stomach, okay.
Somebody told me it was the second stomach, but I think that's the fourth stomach. Anyway, it's stinky. And it's cooked to 116 degrees in the can, not 120. Because at 120, you kill all the live enzymes. So the 116 degrees is there. You open it up, and a Great Dane would get like 3 heaping tablespoons in the morning, 3 heaping tablespoons at night. The green cow mixed right in with the kibble. A little poodle, 10-pound poodle, get half a teaspoon in the morning, half a teaspoon at night. When I open the can of this tripe, the dogs run to the kitchen. They think it's wonderful. But I said, it really coats the stomach. It coats the intestinal tract. It's great for an older dog because, you know, the enzymes aren't so good anymore and they pass gas. Well, this helps with that. And I said, we had to come out with a small can of the 5-ounce can of the green cow in addition to the 13-ounce can because the cats kept stealing it out of the dog's food.
How funny.
Now, chicken. We don't have any chicken in our dry food. You've heard of the bird flu.
Right.
Okay. Supposedly, it is not in the United States yet. The first time I saw information on that, that was not in an Asian country, which has been in Asian countries for maybe 2 or 3 years, was in 90, and I'll send you that article, 90 ducks, migratory ducks, were found dead at the Toronto golf course. Within about a month or so, some people were very sick in the Toronto hospital. They couldn't trace it down to the bird flu, but they had their suspicions, because these geese fly into poultry farms to eat the poultry and eat the poultry feed.
Uh-huh.
And then people eat the chickens. Now, supposedly, if you cook the chickens at a high enough temperature, you kill this virus. Well, maybe, maybe not. They're not really quite sure. It's in ducks and chickens. And it's very serious because according to, I sent you that article from Dr. Bruce something for the Center of Disease Control.
No, I never got it.
Oh, I'll send you. He feels that the virus is here already. It's called the H5N1 virus. And he said what worries them, it could go from a dog to a cat. And he said they're worried that it would jump species and go into humans, particularly if, let's say, a person had the flu. And he was...
You're talking about the bird flu going
yeah.
from a dog to a cat.
Yeah,
okay.
And it was because dogs and cats eat chicken. I don't have any chicken in my food.
Okay.
And it would jump species and go from the dog to a person if the person has the flu because it's so similar. So it can change the flu virus. But I just want to make people aware that chicken and ducks in dog food is not safe. We don't put it in with our food. I said the only chicken we have is a little bit in the cat food. We get it from a local guy. And he has netting over his poultry farm so he doesn't get any of these migratory ducks flying in. And they feel that this is the contributing factor to that.
Okay, well, but ordinarily, I mean, isn't I thought that your dog food, the dry dog food, was like a complete diet? And that it wasn't necessary to give
it
a
isn't.
Soft meat.
Oh, it isn't. You don't even have to put the sea meal in it.
Okay.
But the sea meal, which is our number one seller, it's 19 types of sea vegetation, 60 trace minerals. Dogs are 11% trace minerals, 4% vitamins. If you don't get the trace minerals, the vitamins don't work. It boosts up the thymus and thyroid glands, which controls the immune system, the hormone system, the enzyme system of the body. And as I said, if you give it to like a 50-pound dog, it's a half a teaspoon in the morning, half a teaspoon at night. The food jumps from 80% absorbed to 92% absorbed.
Oh, I see.
I mean, it's quite complete. Now,
yeah.
A lot of dog food companies say, well, we put probiotics and digestive enzymes in dog food and cat food. They didn't do their homework. Probiotics and digestive enzymes are killed at 120 degrees. Dog food is cooked at 350. You're wasting your money.
Really?
That's why I said the green cow is cooked at 116 degrees, not 120. So it still has the active enzymes in it.
So, I mean, anytime you're adding enzymes to humans or dogs, you're going to extend their life, right?
That's right. Always talk loud to me, will you?
Oh, sure.
You're a long way. What are you in, New York?
I'm in Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me talk about venison.
Okay.
You know what chronic wasting disease is? It's very similar to mad cow disease.
I know it.
Now, if a cow gets it, and it was found, I think, in Washington, and it was found in Texas, you really don't see symptoms for about 5 years. It affects the brain. But chronic wasting syndrome in venison will kill you within a few months.
Is that right?
I don't think they're quite sure how this works yet, because it's kind of new. But anyway, I heard in the news, do you ever listen to Coast to Coast at night?
I don't. I have lots of friends that listen, but I don't.
Now George Norrie. They had a wonderful guy on there one time. That he was talking about this chronic wasting syndrome in Wisconsin. These hunters found a deer, killed the deer, dressed the deer, and ate it. And within the month, they had died. All three of them died. Well, the Department of Agriculture comes in and they start testing the deer, and they find 30% of all the deer in Wisconsin have chronic wasting syndrome.
Listen, I was in Colorado when that happened, and my son lives in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in and they killed all the deer in his neighborhood on his mountain in Sugarloaf.
Right.
Because they had already found wasting disease. And they were trying to prevent it from spreading.
Well, even worse than that, about a month ago, and I forgot which state it was, they had rounded up the deer for testing. Now, remember, they know 30% of them have it. They want to see what's beyond that. But some do-gooder, during the night, had cut all the fencing down and let the deer loose.
Oh, you're kidding.
So if the deer didn't have it just by being near the other deer, it would go on. Now, in the southern states, they noticed that the sporting and hunting dogs were getting sick. They traced it to the deer had some feces. You know, they poop all around.
Right.
Now, the squirrels had eaten their poop. And I thought squirrels are mostly vegetarians, but they're not. They're you know, opportunists. And the dogs had mouthed the dead squirrels, and they were getting sick. That's how far along the line this chronic wasting syndrome was.
Well, let me tell you something. I was in Highlands, North Carolina 3 years ago and interviewed a woman who was a nurse, and she told me that the doctors told her that her father died of Alzheimer's, but her father died of wasting disease or mad cow disease.
Oh,
and she said that the increase in Alzheimer's, particularly in young people today, is not Alzheimer's, that it's mad cow disease, and that the medical profession is camouflaging it.
Well,
they're preventing the information from getting out to people.
Well, you know, there was in Texas, as I said, they found a mad cow, and yet there are several dog foods made in Texas. Ours is not. Several dog foods are made in there, and I never got a notice in any of our pet magazines about these mad cow disease in Texas. We did know that in one place in, I was going to say South Carolina, they had aflatoxin on corn, which killed over 100 dogs.
Is that right?
Yeah, but we don't use corn in our dog food, so we didn't have to worry about that. But anyway, this is how careful, and yet there are a lot of dog food companies out there that feed duck and potato or venison and potato, and you got to realize that this venison isn't from one deer that they put in these cans. They're a mix-up of several deers.
Right.
So we don't use venison. We don't use duck. And I said the only little bit of chicken we use is local. And we have that periodically tested. What else do you want to know?
Well, I also wanted you to talk about the various allergies that dogs have. You
okay.
know, the skin problems. I think we went over the dogs that eat poop or do things like that last week, but it doesn't hurt to repeat it. So I wanted you to address some of the, you know, the chronic issues that pet owners have, and they take them to their dogs to the vet, and the vets, you know, offer some kind of superficial topical, or they shoot them up with steroids, and it doesn't help the dog at all.
It treats the symptom, not the cause.
Right. It's the quick fix consciousness.
Yeah. If you take your dog to a vet and you don't clear it up, the allergy goes from the body to the ears. If it doesn't clear, it goes from the ears to the eyes, and you get drainage in the eyes. Well, that reminds me, I'm going to send you another paper called The White Dog Dilemma. It was put out by the Bichon Frise Reporter. You know those little white fuzzy dogs?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Many dogs do get this drainage. If you are feeding any dog food with sugar beet pulp in it or corn, and I'll tell you why they use the sugar beet pulp in a minute. That is an alkali, and bacteria are attracted to alkali, and that's why you get this drainage around the eyes. If you stop using the sugar beet pulp and the corn dog food, usually this goes away.
You mean like when, I have a Yorkie poo, and she'll have that little tear, you know, the black stuff that comes in the corner of her eyes?
Well, she shouldn't after being on our food for 3 months.
Well, she does have it occasionally.
Yeah. It will go away eventually. Now, for your listeners, the best thing to do is to go to a supermarket and buy a jug of apple cider vinegar, 50 cents, and you put it on a cotton ball and you squeeze it out so it's not runny. and you clean out the ears with the apple cider vinegar. If there's a cut inside the ear, you're going to have to dilute it down, otherwise it will sting, because the apple cider vinegar will clear out the ears. Why? Because the apple cider vinegar is an acid, and usually some of your infections are alkali.
Interesting.
And we use a product called Ear Care with Comfrey, C-O-M-F-R-E-Y, which is a plant. And actually, Comfrey caused these cells to multiply, but they multiply with such rapidity, the cell wall gets thinner and thinner and actually implodes upon itself and kills itself. That's the best way to get rid of an ear infection. But you got to clear up whatever the dog is being fed, the soybean, wheat, corn, or sunflower oil, which increases cancer risk by 69%.
Sunflower oil does?
Yeah. When the health food stores took sunflower oil off the shelves because they felt that was a connection with cancer, it became the cheapest oil available, and immediately 9 different dog food companies put it in their dog food. And then I got the second study from the Swedish National Cancer Institute. I'm sure I sent you that on the back.
No. I haven't received anything from you.
Oh, okay. I got you. Anyway, it says it was done on breast cancer in women, but, you know, cancer is an unregulated cell that keep multiplying. So anyway, they found out that when these women ate sunflower oil, safflower oil, or corn oil, here's the corn again, you had a 69% increase in breast cancer.
Wow.
So that's why these dog food companies put sunflower oil into their dog food. I'll never know. But I'm going to send you that, too. And when we get to the end of the thing, I'll get your address.
Okay, great. Also, what about the skin allergies? I mean, there's so many dogs that have skin problems.
Okay. Soybean, wheat, or corn will cause skin allergies. As I said, we use amaranth, millet, and barley. But it takes time. It will take a month, 22 days, for the soybean, wheat, and corn to get into the system. It takes 22 days for the sea meal to get into the system. The second month on this regimen, you will have larger stools, more frequent stools, and they're going to smell awful because the body's detoxifying, particularly if you're using animal fat and poultry fat, which is rancid. The third month, everything comes back to normal, and that's when the healing starts. I gave a lecture to some dog club not too long ago, and I said, you know, the second month you're going to get real stinky stools. So expect it. And a woman came up afterwards. She said, I have a 5-year-old Springer Spaniel, and I heard your lecture last year when my dog was 4. And I'm so glad you warned me about the second month. She said the poop the second month was magenta, green, yellow, orange. And she thought, what is going on? And then she remembered that 3 years before, the dog had eaten a box of her daughter's crayons.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned
that. Right. It had melted inside the intestinal tract, and she had been using a dog food with poultry byproducts, beak, feet, and feathers, and some of the feathers had stuck inside the intestinal tract.
That's amazing.
And all of that had to come out the second month. And the third month, everything goes back to normal, and that's when the healing starts. So you can't rush this. You have to change the body slowly, or you're going to give them diarrhea.
Well, I mean, that's the same with humans. When you start on a detox or a cleansing, or if you change your diet nutritionally, you're going to go. It's going to take a while. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Well, now, I noticed that you give your animals flaxseed oil and MSM.
Yes, MSM is a vasodilator. The S stands for sulfur. Remember I said sulfur is the third most prevalent ingredient in the body?
Uh-huh.
It's what I brush my teeth with it.
Really?
After I spit out the toothpaste, I put the wet toothbrush in the MSM, I brush the teeth again, I brush my tongue, and I swallow it. It doesn't prevent plaque to form on the teeth. It doesn't prevent plaque to form inside the arteries.
No kidding. That's amazing.
It's
I knew it was good for, like, arthritis and rheumatism, but I didn't.
Remember James Colburn, the movie star? Okay. He was on some program on television, and he said that he had arthritis for 20 years. And he mentioned the solid gold MSM. We were inundated with orders for MSM. As I said, MSM is produced by the body. It's a natural occurring substance. And it's available in many different places.
So in other words, he was taking your product?
Yes.
He was the product that you make for dogs?
Yeah. Well, all our products are safe for human consumption.
Oh, well, you didn't say that before. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's safe for human consumption. Yeah. Sure.
Well, that's amazing.
For example, I said the MSM. What was the other one you asked about?
Oh, flaxseed oil.
Oh, flaxseed oil. You have to be careful with flaxseed oil. Many companies in the United States use flaxseed oil, and they use the hexene to extract the last drop of oil. Hexene is made from octane gasoline. It's used by, as I said, other companies, but not us. People are not allergic to it. Dogs are highly allergic to it. We have to have it made in a very small company. They make it for us and a lady in Germany, Dr. Joanna Budwick. And she's been nominated 7 times for the Nobel Prize. And she claims, I'm not sure I believe her, but she claims she in her book that she has cured 1,000 cases of cancer with flaxseed oil because she said cancer is nothing more than a breakdown of the immune system. I said, I'm not sure I believe her, but I figure the Nobel Prize people know a lot more than I do.
Well, it's, you know,
I
view cancer as just a signal that the body is out of balance. I don't view it as a death sentence like doctors do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gives them permission to zap you with radiation and chemotherapy, which absolutely destroys your system. So, you know, I know that there's natural ways of healing cancer. Well, tell me, I see you have an enzyme formula as well.
In addition
to the green cow.
Oh, the green cow. That is the enzyme formula of the green cow.
No, I'm looking at your program here, and it says Dezyme.
Oh, the Dezymes is a prebiotic. The C-meal is a probiotic. A probiotic is fed with the food. A prebiotic is fed 10 to 15 minutes before you intend to feed the food. It's got to get through the stomach when the stomach is empty, the acid is low, and in the intestinal tract where it's already broken down before the food comes in.
Huh. So would you recommend Dezymes for humans?
Yeah, you can get them. But, I mean, the Dezymes aren't really that distinguished from any other prebiotic on the market.
Well, you also have Brewer's yeast.
Brewer's yeast. We were the company that developed Brewer's yeast to repel fleas. Again, it's the sulfur content. Sulfur's great. And, it repels, some people say, 80% of the fleas. We get it from England. They use the yeast from the beer. From the heavy black German beer, that yeast.
I see.
And other companies copied us. They don't know any better. They're using the yeast from the American light beer. It doesn't do much of anything.
I see.
Should I tell you about our new dog food called Barking at the Moon?
No, but I wanted to ask you about yucca first.
Yucca,
And why are you giving, you're just giving brewer's yeast to the dogs just to build B vitamins in their body? Or?
Yeah, it's B vitamins. It repels fleas, too, because of the garlic content.
And does that really work?
It does somewhat. But
I mean, I've tried giving Brewer's yeast to my dog, and I couldn't see that it's chased
fleas
away.
Our brand is called English Rescue.
If you
don't give the high potency from the heavy black German beer, you're wasting your money.
I see.
It doesn't work.
And what about the yucca?
Yucca's an anti-inflammatory. It's been around hundreds and hundreds of years. It's considered a food. It's grass, G-R-A-S, generally recognized as safe by the FDA Title 21. And it comes in and takes down the swelling, which causes the pain. You always use
pain from what?
Well, I fell off my horse. That's what did that.
So it's for joint and hip problems? Is there
any soft tissue swelling?
So, in other words, it would work for hip dysplasia and things like that dogs suffer from?
Yeah, any bone and joint problem, any arthritis or anything like that.
I see.
The reason you use it with the C-meal, when you have a soft tissue swelling, the surrounding cells around that area are squashed. They're not carrying the oxygen. This is where the C-meal comes in. Remember I said it works through the thymus and thyroid gland, which influences the hormone system? It's the hormone system that brings new cells in that brings the oxygen in. That's why you use them together. You can use the C-meal with the dog food, but if you use the yucca, use the C-meal. In 1978, I fell from my horse. I used to jump horses. Stupid thing to do. But anyway, I used to jump horses. And I hurt my left shoulder very badly. Nothing was broken, but all the muscle tissue was pulled out of whack. And I walked around with a bent arm for 3 years. I couldn't move it. And I started taking the yucca and the C-meal. In 3 days, I can move the arm. Now, as long as I take it, I can move my arm. But if I forget to take it for 3 days, it starts in again. Now, my mother had very bad back. So you take 3 tablespoons of yucca, 3 tablespoons of sea meal, and put it in the bath water and soak in the tub for 25 minutes. It takes that long to penetrate through the muscle tissue. When you let the water out of the tub, don't wash the tub. The tub is going to look dirty. What the heck? Who cares? Put 2 tablespoons of yucca and 2 tablespoons of it in the next night. Or you can, if you have arthritis of the hands, get a pail of hot water, not real hot, put a tablespoon of yucca, a tablespoon of sea meal, put your hands in there, and 20, 25 minutes, then take your hands out. Don't throw the bucket of water away. The next night, all you have to do is heat up the water again.
Huh.
Yucca works from inside out. It also works from outside in.
And now, when you manufacture these products, are you making them with humans in mind or just dogs in mind? Because it sounds like are you selling them to humans as well as
dogs? Well, we have to sell them to the dogs because the FDA said we are licensed for dogs and cats. But what you do with the product after you take it home, it's your business.
I see.
But as I said, all our products are human grade.
Well, I was very interested to learn that you also have a pet calmer.
Pet calmer, yeah. It's used in every state except 4. Every state has its own FDA. Kava kava is a plant from the South Pacific. You've probably heard it. It's in tea
sure.
all over the place. You can buy it in any health food store for tea. But the FDA in these 4 states says you can't give it to dogs. You ask them why, they said because it isn't registered. You ask them why, and they said because you can't. So you go around a circle. For example, in Texas, we can't sell our bee pollen because Texas said it's illegal to give bee pollen to animals. I said to the guy, did the bees know this? Was the bee pollen police going to come and erase the we can't sell our bee pollen in there. We have something called SEP, stop eating poop. Now, the reason dogs eat poop is because you're feeding them something that's tying up the trace minerals, like the soybean, wheat, or corn, or sugar. This would tie up your trace minerals. They eat the poop to recycle the trace minerals that they've passed out. So if you have a dog that's eating your neighbor's poop, you give the SCP to your neighbor. So when the poop comes out, now it contains, I'm going to say glycemic acid. I think that's the right word. And you have that in the stomach, but this is like a triple dose. The dog doesn't taste it as he gets it down, but when he puts it out the other end in the poop, it's very, very strong. And this will keep your dog from eating the poop, but it takes a month. The same time you feed your dog the sea meal, which will replace the trace minerals, so he doesn't have to have the need to eat the poop.
Uh-huh. My dog definitely does that.
Now, we also have something called red raspberry leaves for pregnant bitches.
Okay.
And cows and queens. I didn't say cows, I meant queens. That's a female cat. That's a queen. And they're called bitches and dogs, queens and cats. Okay, you start the bitches. And this is incidentally not the English red raspberry tea leaves you get in the health food store.
Okay.
We import these from Germany. They're made for pregnant women. And you start the bitches on it 2 weeks before she's due to come in season. Because if she has a vaginal or uterine infection, they neutralize the sperm. So you start her on this to help clear it up, and you keep her on all through the 63 days pregnancy and 6 weeks after the puppies are born because it tightens up the uterus. It's a wonderful product. We have another product called Conceptibitch that is for, bitches that older bitches don't conceive too well.
Uh-huh.
Or you have... maybe 1 or 2 puppies or something's wrong. But I can't sell that in Texas because the word bitch was used.
Oh.
And the man in Texas said, you have to call it conceptive dog. Dogs don't conceive.
How funny.
Says,
well, let me ask you this. What causes bitches to go into a false pregnancy?
It's your hormone system is irregular. This is where the sea meal, this is why the sea meal is our number one seller.
Okay.
So, because that's the hormone system.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you something about why women are getting infertile and men go to fertility clinics.
Well, yeah, because there's so many hormones in the meats and the chicken and the foods that everybody's eating.
Now, I got to tell you, this is my opinion.
Okay.
I have some documentation for this. First of all, they put arsenic in chickens' drinking water because they're loaded with parasites. What they don't tell you is that arsenic contributes to blindness in dogs. Okay.
Wow.
They also put estrogen, the female hormone, into chickens' drinking water to get big-breasted chickens
right.
in the fast food industry. Okay, so have you seen the boobs in these 15-year-old girls?
Yes.
They're huge. Okay, yes. So they go to a fast food place. Oh, no, I don't want a hamburger. It's not good for me. I want a chicken breast sandwich. So now you're getting estrogen.
Oh, I know.
At every meal. Now, when you get estrogen dominance, progesterone falls. Progesterone is what maintains pregnancy in mammals, dogs, women. What happens if a young man goes to the fast food place and keeps getting estrogen dominance? He develops breasts. And I'll send you the paperwork on this. In 1998, there were 9,000 breast reduction in men.
Are you kidding?
Now I'm going to send you documentation from this.
Whoa.
Now, what happens? If he gets estrogen dominance, testosterone falls. When testosterone falls, you take the chance that the tails fall off the sperm. And if the tails fall off the sperm, you don't get any motility. This is why when many men go to a fertility clinic, the first thing the doctor says is, stop eating chicken. I had a phone call from president of Canada of a Bassetown club. She said, we've had no puppies for 2 years. I said, are you feeding a chicken-based dog food? I said, that's a possibility that you're getting estrogen dominance in your studs and your bitches. And as I said, they won't let me sell this in Texas unless I call it Conceptus Stud instead. I said to this guy, do you have dogs? He said, no. I said, well, if you had a female dog, what would you call it? He said, a dog. I said, you wouldn't call it a bitch? He said, that's a dirty word. Oh, Lord, help us. What else do you want to know?
Well, why would you give a dog bee pollen?
Bee pollen is wonderful for airborne allergies. 12% of what's in the bee pollen, we don't know. Remember, the queen bee is fed all this stuff to make her queen. Remember when Fergie, you know, the prince... Andrew's
yes.
wife couldn't conceive. She took bee pollen for 6 months, and she conceived because it does so much for the reproductive organs. But it's also for airborne allergies. You know, in the spring, you get your hay fever?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you take bee pollen. It's like an antihistamine against the pollen that comes up your nose.
That's amazing.
I didn't realize
it was so good for estrogen and hormone balance.
I was in Egypt several years ago. I go all over. And this was before the King Tut's tomb came here, I think it was 77. And they had bee pollen all through the tomb. And they also activated it and with some other grains, and they all sprouted. And that was 2,000 years old.
That is remarkable.
But the bee pollen has like a shell on it. It has a double shell. Our bee pollen is double shell cracked. It's important that people know this, because if they buy regular bee pollen, it's only single cell cracked, getting less than 40%. But we went right to the beekeepers, the apiaries, to get the bee pollen because we know about this double cracking. I read a lot. You could tell.
I'm fascinated that you have accumulated so much of this research over the years. I mean, did you have... I mean, scientific people helping you come up with all these... various methods and ideas, or were these things that you just pulled together yourself?
Well,
did you have like a chemist on your staff? Or?
Well, I read 17 magazines a month, and you get a little bit here and you get a little bit there, and then of course the internet's wonderful. If you're not sure what you're reading is correct, go on the internet and have them double check it for you.
Well, now, you have a product, and when we started this program we were talking about how you extend the life of dogs. And you have another product called Life Extension.
Life Extension, which I cannot sell in Texas because they didn't like the name. Okay. And in the 40-some-odd years I've been around, 35, 40 years, Life Extension is our best product. I received something in the mail from the Townsend Letter for Doctors.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's a pretty distinguished newsletter.
Yep. They're not selling anything. They sent this information to people, doctors. And it's called the C-Cure, which is the commercial name of Whitefish. It's 6 pages long. They talk about chemotherapy, cancer, irritable bowel syndrome, and Crohn's disease. I was so fascinated with this, I started doing some research on it, particularly anti-aging, and because I'm an old lady, I'm 73, anti-aging and stem cell research. And there's a lot of it out there, but you got to look for it. Now, the sea meal works on the cellular level of the immune system. The flaxseed oil works on the lipid level of the immune system. The life extension works on the chromosomes.
Ooh.
Now, the tips of the chromosomes are called telomeres, And every time the cell divides, the telomeres get shorter and shorter and shorter. There's none left, you die. They usually divide about 60 or 65 times, and you're 70 years old and you die. Well, I said I'm 73. I decided I'm not going to die. So anyway, I started doing
this. You don't sound like you're going to die.
Well, you saw the picture of me with my Great Dane, my husband Dane. Okay. That was taken a couple months ago. Anyway, and there's a lot out there, so I started researching this, and what happened is that, and I won't name the facility because I don't think they'd want me to name it. They developed a strain of mice that are similar to people. And they started giving them this whitefish that no dog and no person is allergic to. That's why we use whitefish in our products.
Really?
They put it in beta-glucan, which is anti-cancer. They put in colostrum, which is first milk before the breast produce white milk, produces a clear liquid, the first...
Yeah, that builds the immune system.
Yeah, that's the colostrum. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. They put all this stuff in this thing, and they started giving it to these mice. And after the cells divided 60 or 65 times, they start counting. 60 plus 1, 60 plus 2. When it got up to 60 plus 220, they stopped counting. That already was four times the life expectancy.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
When they did the necropsy on some of these mice, they found out the cell, the telomeres were not falling off. They were regenerating like stem cells.
So what wasn't falling off?
The telomeres, which are the tips of the chromosomes.
Oh,
they weren't falling off. Remember I said they...
Yeah.
So they weren't falling off. They were regenerating like stem cells. Well, wow, this exploded the stem cell research. So I get this formula back from this university. I thought to myself, I can do better than this. Have you ever heard of the larch tree, L-A-R-C-H?
Yes.
Larch tree is called the tree of immortality. It lives to be 1,000 years old. Supposedly it was the tree of life in the Bible. I'm not sure if it was. I thought it was the fig tree or the apple tree.
I thought it was the olive tree.
Well, whatever it was. Anyway, called the tree of life. And we like the western larch that grows between Oregon and Alaska. It's called the tamarack tree. And we found out, Lucy is my research assistant, we found out for hundreds of years, the Indians there used to scrape off the bark of the tree, boil it up, and drink it for cancer, diarrhea, ear infections, skin infections, and frostbite on the ears and the feet. So now we know it's for cell rejuvenation. So we put that into this formula. And we put other things. We put vitamin C. We put in chlorophyll. There's chlorophyll in every cell of your body. Chlorophyll contains electricity. That's what enables the cells to communicate with each other. Okay.
That's really fascinating because I recently saw a documentary on Ayurvedic healing, and this gentleman from England went into the most remote areas of India, and the shaman there were scraping the bark off of certain trees and giving it to people for cancer.
Absolutely. Probably the cinnamon tree.
Whatever. Isn't that amazing?
Okay, let me finish the story because our time is close.
Yes, it's running
out. So anyway, what happens, in January 01, I have this formula together, and I'm afraid to give it to my Great Dane. I went, what the heck, I'll give it to me. So I deliberately took a triple dose every day, January 01, February, March, April. In April 01, I'm in Italy on vacation, and everybody on the tour is throwing up and diarrhea except me, some sort of bacterial infection. So I said to Bob, my partner, why don't you take this? He says, I don't want that super fish stuff. I said, okay, be sick. I don't care. So 3 days later, he was so sick, he was willing to take the super fish stuff and stop the diarrhea in a day and a half. I gave it to all 40 people on the tour. I didn't tell them I'm testing a dog product on them. It doesn't matter. I thought it was super chemical. Stop the diarrhea right away. So
that is amazing.
In May of 01, I'm a vendor at dog shows, and people coming up to me asking me if I had a facelift. I said, how could I get a facelift? I do dog shows every weekend. I could see the difference in 3 months. 3 months seemed to be the timing. First of all, the age spots in the hands disappeared. The bags under the eyes disappeared. The wrinkles disappeared.
Wow.
By September of 01, I'm figuring it's safe enough to try it on dogs. Two dogs came to the dog show that had cancer tumors on their shoulders as a result of vaccination. See, I don't vaccinate my dogs.
No.
And the vets want to put them down. I said, I will give you free Hundenflocken dog food, free sea meal for the cellular level, free flaxseed oil for the liquid level, and free life extension. Both of them called me at the end of 3 months. The cancer tumors were gone.
Wow.
We tried it on cats. And I got a vet friend of mine who was willing to trust me. And I said, give me three cats that are sick. He said, I'll give you three cats that are going to die. He said, I've tried everything under the sun. Nothing stops the diarrhea. We put them on the sea meal, not the flax oil, plus the liquid. The cats and flocking cats with life extension stopped the diarrhea in 3 days.
Wow.
The last one I'm going to tell you about was a Cocker Spaniel on the East Coast, six-year-old bitch that had no hair. Woman called me in 3 months. She said, we've got to go to the groomer because she looks like a little bear. The end of my story is, I said to Lucy, I wish I could find a picture of a larch tree. She said, you have a picture of a larch tree in your store. I said, no, we don't. She said, when you went to England 2 years ago, you brought back a tapestry of Queen Elizabeth holding a unicorn and a lion, which is a symbol of the British Empire.
The Gobelins tapestry, is it?
And well, it's only, you know, a cheapy one I got at Harrod's apartment store. You know, cheapy one. Anyway, he's holding a unicorn and a lion. Now, that's the symbol of the British Empire. And did you know that any time you see the mythical unicorn, it's always sitting under a larch tree?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. And on that, I think I finished my stories.
I think you did, and I just want to say thank you for your time, Sissy. It has been a pleasure to talk to you.
Now, give me your address off the air so I can send you all this.
Well, I'll call you with my address later.
Okay.
And I just want to say good night. And this has been Lexi Ross for Health Frontiers on BBS Radio.
Okay, thanks, dear.
Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.